I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The dramatic rescue of those 33 trapped miners in Chile captivated millions of TV viewers around the globe this week. For many, the official face of the rescue was that of Chile's president, Sebastián Piñera. He was on hand to greet and hug each miner as the men were pulled to safety one by one. Now Piñera is vowing that Chile will never again allow its miners to toil in unsafe and inhumane conditions like the ones at the now collapsed San Jose mine. It's worth noting that almost exactly 37 years ago, Chile's then leader, General Augusto Pinochet, viewed the miners in the area very differently. He suspected them of leftist sympathies and sent a special group to Copiapó, the town next to the San Jose mine. That group killed 16 men, some brutally. It was part of what has become known as the Caravan of Death. Mark Encelaco is director of the Human Rights Program at the University of Dayton. Mark, give us the context here. What did General Pinochet have against the miners?
Well, the miners all belonged to the Socialist or Communist Party. They were organized in labor unions. They supported the ousted government of Salvador Allende. And Pinochet and generals like him who took a hard line were determined to exterminate these people. They really wanted to decapitate the left to be able to install an authoritarian military regime. And so General Pinochet, about a month after the coup, sent a special delegation with an official delegate to tour a series of cities where he suspected military officers were taking a soft line. And in the wake of the so-called Caravan of Death, more than 100 were killed, including the 16 in Copiapó.
And who exactly were the people who carried out the massacre?
Well, the man that Pinochet named as his official delegate was a man by the name of Brigadier General Sergio Arellano Stark, General Arellano. He'd been instrumental in organizing the coup, even more than Pinochet himself. He brought with him a number of officers, an adjutant, a second-in-command, and some others, all of whom later made their way, or three of them made their way, into the notorious secret police known as the DINA, who carried on murders in 74 to 77, including an assassination in Washington. And actually, one of the members of the Caravan of Death delegation is hiding somewhere in the United States in the Department of Justice Witness Protection Program. He testified in the 1976 assassination of Orlando Letelier in the United States. But he was a member of the Caravan of Death and was widely regarded as a psychopath, someone who killed with great brutality in these series of massacres.
I mean, General Stark must have had intelligence officers all over the country just fingering people who they thought, you know, might be, you know, ready to go against the new regime.
There's a lot of unanswered questions about who they selected and why they selected him. But in all probability, General Arellano arrived to each of these garrisons where massacres were committed throughout 2 weeks in October, and he had names of people he was specifically looking for. They were well known as labor leaders or members of socialist or communist parties. And actually, the modus operandi was the delegation would arrive aboard a helicopter. In the case of Copiapó, at 10 o'clock at night, General Arellano would immediately go to the commander's office, look at the files of the prisoners who were held there, select those he thought were most dangerous, click off their names, and then order his second-in-command to execute these people. In Copiapó, the order was given to members of the garrison there. The colonel in charge was not happy about the order to execute. He gave the order to a captain who protested the order but was told that he could face firing squad himself. Order was given to execute these men outside the garrison. They didn't want to affect morale. They were taken to a remote area. They were executed, and their bodies were put back on a truck. And as the truck was returning to Copiapó, General Arellano's second-in-command rendezvoused with the trucks. He climbed on board the truck. According to witnesses, blood was flowing through the floorboards. He lifted up a tarp that covered the bodies and one by one lifted their heads by the scalp to verify that the dead bodies, in fact, belonged to the men they wanted executed. And then they drove to a hotel where General Arellano was lodged. He greeted them in a bathrobe, and his second-in-command simply said, "Your order's been completed, General." Later that morning, three more mining officials from a town called Salvador were killed, but very brutally. Whereas the other ones were shot, these were slashed to death with military knives called corvos, crescent-shaped knives. Those three bodies were have yet to been discovered. So as we bring up these miners and this wonderful rescue operation, it just bears remembering that three miners who were killed 37 years ago, their bodies have yet to been found.
As I listen to you recount this story, clearly the details are pretty well established. Has there been any official coming to terms or apology for the 1973 massacre in Copiapo?
There's been no apology. Pinochet left the presidency in 1990. He retained his title as commander-in-chief and blocked any type of investigation. There was a truth commission which alluded to the so-called caravan of death, although they didn't use that name. Judge Juan Guzman conducted an incredible investigation. I've seen his files. He went to Copiapó and other places, put together the facts as best he could, and was able to indict General Arellano in 1999, gained the impeachment of Pinochet in 2000. But it really wasn't until 2005 that Arellano was officially convicted of these related crimes, not the crimes in Copiapó, but other caravan of death crimes. But he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and his six-year prison sentence was lifted to allow him to undergo medical treatment for Alzheimer's. So there hasn't been punishment in a sense of criminal prosecution, but the world knows the truth now. For a long time in Chile and elsewhere in Latin America where these type of atrocities occurred, we've said never again, nunca más, that should never happen again. And that shouldn't detract from this wonderful rescue operation. It should really put it in the context that well, as I've said before, what a difference democracy makes. Under an authoritarian regime, miners were singled out for murder. Under a democracy, the government spared no expense to bring them out alive.
Mark Ensilaco, director of the Human Rights Program at the University of Dayton. He's the author of Chile Under Pinochet, Recovering the Truth. Mark, very good to speak with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.